All right, I have a little audience, but we're thinking that there's another audience behind us, right? So it's kind of fun to do this, sort of. I wouldn't do it every week. I'd rather have us all together. It's a lot more fun that way. So, mic test, is that good? Okay, we're good here. Well, our topic is Hebrews 11, and if you look at Hebrews 11, it's all about faith. So today I'm going to share four truths about faith, and I want to hammer those in. Our passage is going to be Hebrews 11, verses 7 onto verse 16. Faith is a funny subject. Faith is a weird thing. I like the way Eric did it last week. He kind of got this little ruler stick between two hands and says, all right, this is your faith, and it connects you to God, but you got to hang on to one side, and God's got truth in the other side. So that helps. That makes sense. There's got to be some way to explain faith because it's an intangible. It's something that you don't actually see, you don't feel, you don't... How do you deal with it? And I think that for the same reason, the author of Hebrews has begun to tell us stories. Because you can't see faith, but these stories show you where faith is at. And it helps us make it alive. And so I've taken the stories, and I've picked out a few, four things that seem really key, important to faith. Now, there's a lot more to faith that we won't talk about, but because, you know, we want to talk about what's your content of your faith. What faith statements do you believe in? And that's a fun subject. But this is a little different. These are things that come from the stories that our author has for us. And we need our own stories of faith as well. We don't just say, oh, well, faith, yeah, that happens out there. We need our own stories of faith. We need to see how that happens in our lives or in those near us. Just recently, I had somebody shared a link with me about my dad. And I was like, oh, what? It's a YouTube link. My dad's on it. I'd share the YouTube link with you, but my digital display doesn't work and is in Spanish, so you wouldn't probably get most of it. But he has a testimony of how he made it to Bolivia, to South America, and it's kind of a lot of fun to listen to. And I'm hearing the same things that I'm reading here in Hebrews 11 when I hear my dad's story, and I say, oh, look at that. He had to go through the same things. He had to walk by faith in the same way. So I'll share a little bit of that with you later, but he had to hear the Lord's call, he had to follow it, and he had to get close to God, and you know what? God rewarded him in a funny way for the stuff he's been involved in. So these are all things we want to talk about today. Four things to remember about faith, and I will start the passage, all right? First off, faith is walking a different path than the world, all right? Faith is walking not the way everyone walks, but a different path than the world. And while the world's going that way, if you're just following along, you're just following along. If you want to live by faith, you walk the other way or some other way. The next thing is faith is listening to God's revelation or tuning in, getting your antennas directed right, figuring out where is God, what is he saying, and faith is tuning in to God, listening to God. The third thing is that faith, well, you got to get the gloves on. You got to put your gloves on. You got to get to work. Faith isn't just about talking. Faith isn't about feeling. Faith isn't about believism with no further than, I believe, raise my hand. Sorry, that's not faith enough. You got to get the gloves on, and you got to get working. You got to do something with it. And finally, faith is rewarded by God. And that's pretty cool to watch in the stories we're told. And we'll get into the rewards a little more as we go. So those are our four things. Walking, tuning into God, proved by actions, and you need to be, and it will be rewarded by God, as verse 6 says. So I'll reread verse 6 just for the sake of what it says there. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So having told us this, he's now going to tell us a few stories. Our first story is Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. So there's a few things important here. We got to remember Noah's life. We got to hear his story again. Hebrew Christians would have been quite familiar with Noah. That would have been a no-brainer to them. And it should be probably a no-brainer to us. We've heard the story long enough, enough times anyways. But just in case, I'll pull up a few important things here. Noah's faith. First off, Noah heard God. God spoke to Noah. God found Noah a faithful man and said, he's righteous. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him what's going to happen. And what Noah heard from God was unbelievable. What Noah heard from God was, you're kidding me, climate change? Really? And you know what? God says, yep, really, climate change. We're messing the whole planet up. And nobody's going to survive, not one person. It's climate change of the doomsday kind, of the worst kind. It's the end of the world, climate change. And you know, Noah says, oh, I don't believe it, God. No, actually, he said, I believe it, God. That was what he was faithful for. He listened to God, he tuned in, and he believed it. And to me, that's kind of unbelievable. I still don't believe climate change, you know? But Noah believed it, and he acted upon it. And he says, okay, God, what's the plan? And God says, well, Noah, you got to listen in to this, and I need you to get the gloves on, pull the tools out, get the shop opened up, the big carpentry shop. We're building an ark. And so Noah began building an ark, and he had to prove his faith for over 100 years, or for up to 100 years, building an ark. He was proving his faith 100 years long, building this crazy thing. He gets it built, he goes in, and sure enough, climate change, the flood, the whole world gets wrecked by this worldwide flood, and Noah and his family, the only ones who believed, were saved. And you know what he inherited? The whole world. He is the only one left. He was an heir of righteousness, God says. But actually, he inherited the whole world after a 100-year task. So, again, if we repeat what I've been saying, you've got to hear what God says and believe it. That's faith. You've got to walk different than this culture. And we get a little of how he walked if we go to 1 Peter, go over a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 3. It has a little snippet about Noah. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Says, if I can find it, there we go. This is, there was a proclamation to the spirits now in prison who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. So God, the spirits or the souls that were lost were disobedient and did not go God's way. Waiting in the days of Noah, God's patience, now we go, during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. So there was a lot of people dead, a lot of people that didn't make it through the flood. And they were lost, spirits that were lost, souls that never came to repentance, that never believed. So the whole world essentially was walking the other way, and Noah was the only one believing and walking God's way, and willing to prove it, and willing to build the ark. Maybe the ark would have gotten built sooner if he had, you know, 500 people helping, but it took him 100 years to build this ark. And so he walked contrary to his culture. Chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verse 4, has a little something. I think it's a little advice for us in this case. It says, and in all this, the world, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you, but they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. So we're also in a world that goes a different way from God, that walks contrary to God. And we're supposed to follow the Lord. We're supposed to follow God. We're supposed to live out our faith. We're supposed to walk in a way different than the world. And that'll earn us some bad language. That'll earn us some maligning, as it says here, some slander, that'll earn us criticism, but this is what faith does. We walk a different path than the world. We walk a different way than the world. And again, we had that end of that passage in Hebrews says he was an heir of righteousness and an heir of the whole world. He got to restart the whole world and set down the baseline. So Noah had this great faith and this great reward from God. So again, four things. Four things to remember when we think of faith. You got to walk different than the world. You've got to listen, tune in to God, find God, listen to him, and find out what he's saying to you. And then you got to get the gloves on. You got to put your gloves on. You got to get to work. That's what faith is about. It's getting to work, doing something, not just sitting around and talking about it. And faith is finally rewarded by God. And that's just in the life of Noah, first verse. Now we get into the life of Abraham. And this should be exciting. There's a little more told here. Verse 8 kicks us off here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. This is Abraham's story. And Abraham is an interesting character. He's a nobody. Kind of, you know, just floating around, walking amongst the people of Ur, part of society, doing whatever everybody else did. And God spoke out. It seems that Terah, his father, got a piece of the message and made some first moves. And then Abraham was directly being spoken to by God. And if you go back to this time, Genesis 10, verse 31 tells you about this is the time of nation building. This is the time when families became tribes, took up land, defended territories, and became nations and had kings and organized. And this is the time when all these names become nations later on in history, even nations that we can sort of go back to and find people groups to this day. And Abraham was part of this era, and everybody who was nation building was on the move, making it bigger, making their name, getting themselves established. And God calls Abraham at this time and says, Abraham, you know what? Wrong way, the other way. I want you to leave that people. I want you to leave all those nation builders. I want you to leave all that generation of people that are on the move trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get their families to be bigger and better and all that. And I want you to go this direction. And so Noah goes the way God says. I've got a land for you. Okay. And he took him up, took him around the Fertile Crescent down into Israel, what is now Israel or Palestine or the Promised Land in his time. And he walked him up and down the Promised Land, but he never gave him one piece of property. He had to buy a burial plot for his wife eventually. That's about the only thing he ever owned. Otherwise, he lived in tents. He was a foreigner. He was transient. He was like a hobo. A rich hobo, mind you, but he was like a hobo. He didn't have a place to live. He was going from one tent to the next. Well, pasture dried up. Let's go over there. Oh, let's go over here. We have problems with the neighbors. Oh, the well dried out. We got to dig new wells. And he was just kind of moving around the land. He really didn't own anything. He was never established. And if anybody knows anything about anything, you got to get established before you can really put some roots down, right, and grow something big. And this is a time of nation building, and he was going the wrong way. He was doing it wrong. Besides that, he was getting older and older and older, and finally he says, Lord, you know, the plan kind of implies that I should probably have kids sometime. What's up? I don't see the kids coming. Where's this going to happen? When is this going to tie into the big plan? I don't see it. And God makes a promise. Yeah, you're going to have descendants like the sand on the seashore. Don't worry about it. He says, okay, I believe, but shouldn't I have at least a son or two to, you know, get that kind of started? And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. So he heard God's voice. He followed God, but he was getting too old for children. And boy, he got to know God pretty close in this walking around. In this traipsing around the promised land, he was following a promise. He was traveling the unknown. He was walking a new path that the rest of the world wasn't walking. He was in serious adventures here, but he was in fellowship with God. He was listening to God. In fact, at some point, he's called the friend of God. They got to be buddies. They lived so many adventures together. And if that's not interesting to you, I don't know what could be. But he was got to know God. He was believing the impossible. He even comes to believe that God is going to build him not just a tribe or a family or even a nation, but a city. A city that God's going to build him with God's foundations, because earthly, the human worldly way of doing things, it wasn't happening. It was not the way it was going on. So he really followed God around, and there was a lot of action involved as far as traveling, living in tents, no children, long time waiting. And here was Abraham, and God was finally faithful. And his faithfulness, God fulfilled his promise with barely one son, Isaac, and it talks about that. And God came through. That was a miraculous birth. There wasn't any other ways to do that one. The land was actually given to him 400 years later when they came out of Egypt. The nation was finally going to get a foot in the back in the promised land, the place that Abraham had traipsed around. That nation was finally going to go in and put roots down and establish themselves. A nation was born out of Egypt, the nation of Israel. And the city of God, still pending. Interesting. Still pending. Now, this city of God is going to come up at the end of chapter 11, so that's a spoiler alert. Whoever gets to talk about this is going to have some load of fun. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it eventually. But here's Abraham. Back up again, four things. Faith is walking a different path than the world. And here's Abraham, not following the people of Ur of the Chaldeans, not with his people even. He left his people to go join the other people, maybe the descendants of probably, let's see, he would have been the descendants of Shem, so Ham or the other one, Japheth, okay? So he's on the other side. Is that Ham, right? Oh, I think I'm right. Whatever. There were three sons of Noah. He went to the other groups of people. He was going the wrong way. He was not walking the way of the world. Faith is tuning into God's revelation and listening close, getting to be good at listening to God. Now, we got to practice that sometimes. Abraham had a lot of practice listening to God. He got to know God it was pretty familiar. He learned to recognize the voice of God. That's a kind of a fun concept, no? And finally, faith is proved by action, and faith is rewarded. So Abraham did a lot of stomping around, a lot of following God, a lot of saying, I don't see what we're doing here, but we're still doing. And he was following the Lord, and sometimes he didn't see the fruit. He didn't see the nation born. He just saw the one son born, but he believed God. And he knew that was the beginning of God's promise. He didn't see the nation rooted and established, but he believed. And he actually had the promise, the prophecy that 400 years later, you're going to see this. And then we had God's reward is coming to him. Just in promise, though. Just in promise. The rewards that Abraham got were still in faith. He's the father of faith. He died without seeing it all come together. So where's his reward? Well, it's just not here. It's in heaven. His great reward is in heaven, and his greatest reward, the city whose foundation God laid out, he's still there. He's going to see that. He's going to enjoy that as well. That is still coming. So if you want to know some secret, Abraham isn't dead in the sense that you think he's dead. He's hanging out with God still. That's pretty cool. So, Abraham, four truths of faith again. We have one more section, verses 13 to 16, and this section is actually going to tell us an overall, in general, story of the patriarchs, which would have included Abraham, but also Isaac and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Jacob as well, so the 12 tribes, the beginning of the nation of Israel. So the patriarchs of that nation. And we're going to get kind of an overview of how these people lived, what these people did, and all the rest. Verse 13. All these died in faith. All these is the patriarchs. Not just Abraham, but all the patriarchs. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Again, that city comes up. Really fun concept coming in there. That's going to play and come together later on. I'll just spoil it a little bit for us. The patriarchs of faith, they were faithful in their waiting and waiting. It says they didn't get the whole reward. Again, remember verse 6? God is a rewarder of those who are faithful. And this is the little disclaimer. It says, yes, God is a rewarder and he will reward them, but they didn't get the whole reward yet. It doesn't make their faith worthless, though. It doesn't mean that they had misplaced their faith. It's simply saying, God's not ready to let them have the reward yet. God is still holding out on them a little bit because he wants it to be bigger. He wants it to be better. It's going to be as big as we could ever imagine it. They had a life of faith. They saw God's promises. They saw the beginning of it. They barely saw the beginning of it. And he said they didn't see the whole nation of Israel. They didn't even know what the Ten Commandments were. They didn't have even an idea of the constitutional laws that God was going to put together. But they saw the beginning. They were part of the beginning. And their faith saw more than what was in front of their eyes. So faith allowed them to see further. They welcomed it. They knew it was coming. They welcomed it. God's comment to Abraham was, why shouldn't I talk to Abraham about these things? He's going to raise his kids. And he's going to teach his children about these things. I want him to know this. So God honored Abraham with information that maybe wasn't totally relevant to him at the time, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says, I want you to know it so that I want you to know what I'm like and you can understand me better. And I want you to teach that to your kids. That's important. So they were welcoming, they were anticipating further generations, teaching it into the fibers of their culture. And they acknowledged these things. They saw, they welcomed, they acknowledged, but they were total strangers to the world. They were hobos, rich hobos, a lot of cattle, but no land, no roots. A lot of servants, but no place to call their own. They had the one common burial ground at Machpelah, and that was it. That's where they actually went and put even Joseph was asked, I want to be buried with the, in the family burial ground, the only part of land that belongs to us. They never owned any land. They were just transients. Moving from here to there, what a dumb way to build a country, right? But God was building it for them. God was doing it in a different way. And there was the earthly nation of Israel that certainly they were looking forward to. They were looking more than what the world can give, though. They were looking at what can God do for us? What is God going to bring in to our history, our story? and their ultimate, they wanted a real home. They wanted a heavenly land, a heavenly city, and a real home. They wanted a home. It's not that they were denatured and didn't care. It's not that it didn't grieve them, that they didn't have a place to set their foot. That wasn't the problem. They weren't weird. They were just, they knew there was something better. They knew there was a better home, a real home. So God's reward was partially fulfilled. As we say in Ephesians, the earnest, the beginning of it was given, but not the full picture. Okay? But God's reward is still coming. Their ultimate reward is this city of God. They're still waiting for that city of God. And we wonder what that is, right? God used their faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the way on down the 12 patriarchs of Israel, all the way on down, and he built a foundation for a city. You know that? And he put their names on it. God built a city and put their names on the foundation. They were the founders, faith in faith, they were the founders of the city. And if we go to Revelation chapter 21, this is my spoiler, I'm going to kind of spoil it a little bit for whoever gets the last part of this, but it's really great. Revelation 21, spoiler alert, verse 10 through 14 says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem," but listen, "coming down out of heaven from God." Ooh, that's a little different. "Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates." 12 gates. "And at the gates, 12 angels, the names were written on them, which were those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names." And now it's the 12 apostles. So it's the church, and it's Israel, and it's a city that God built, just like they're talking about here. They understood that God was building them not just a house, but not just a nation, but a city, a heavenly city. And they could see that way back then. Talk about good eyesight, right? But by faith, they could reach across all these centuries and look ahead and say, there's a city coming from heaven, and it is for us, for Israel. But it's also for us, the church. And we get in on this blessing, our city as well. We get to see this as well. It'll come when the time is right. And once again, faith is walking different than the world, walking a different direction usually than the world. And faith is listening, tuning in to God's word, to God's revelation. Okay, we got to get close to God to be able to do this. That's why we draw near to God, because we need to hear what he says, because then we got to put our gloves on and we got to do something with our faith. We can't just be, "Oh yeah, I believe, I go to church, I attend, wait, put on your hands and get to work. Use that faith. Use that faith to do something, and then faith is rewarded by God. And our reward is going to be met in part here on earth in our lifetime. Our reward, many will say, "Oh yeah, you know, strange these Christians, they live a funny life. And you know, when they die, I don't know that they got anywhere with it." Well, yeah, but our faith is looking beyond this. God is going to be the rewarder of our faith even beyond our time. I was mentioning my dad just briefly in his testimony, and we need pictures of faith today too. We need to see it lived out today. I mean, it's great to see the patriarchs, but good grief, we don't live like hobos in tents anymore. So what is God calling us to do today, right? So it seems a little out of character. Well, the same things, but my dad, in his testimony, was telling how he went to visit a missionary in Bolivia Frank Hagerty, who was from just north in Canada. Anyways, he went down to visit, and he got back, and he gets two letters in the mail. One was from another missionary in Bolivia, Gene Train, saying, "Hey, you got to come back. We need your help down here. You got to get to work with us. We're trying to start a Christian school, and we need help." And the other letter came in from, what do you call it? The Department of, anyways, recruitment. He was recruited in for the Vietnam War. And he got these two letters and says, "You got to present yourself to, you know, Camp so-and-so for training." And the other one says, "You got to come to Bolivia." And he's like, wow, the timing's weird, right? It might take 2 weeks, or it might take 3 weeks to get the letter from Bolivia, but it might take 3 days to get it from the State Department. But he kind of had to scratch his head, well, what am I going to do? So he says, "Okay, Lord, I can't say no to them, and I don't want to say no to them." I didn't do it. In any case, that was a speaker going funny. I don't know why. Maybe. I can hear myself. Good, perfect. So he got these two letters, and he took the one to the committee and says, "Look, I'd like to go down to South America. Would you guys consider giving me a buy on this first letter?" And they did. It was an interesting work of God, because some of the questioning he got at the time, he felt very unpatriotic. Let's put it that way. Because he wanted to go elsewhere and not serve your country? What is the problem? Loaded questions being asked. So he went a different direction. And while people in the States were getting degrees, and he wanted to get a degree, he would have loved to study engineering. And he actually did first semester in college when he was getting this mail. While other people were getting degrees, he was learning Spanish. While other people were getting, you know, PhDs, he was teaching grade school. And he just wasn't doing what everyone else was doing. And you got to kind of wonder, well, you're going the wrong way, man. But he listened to God's call, and he followed that. And he didn't just listen to God's call once. He had to listen to God again. And then he had to listen to God again. And it just becomes a pattern. You just got to keep listening to God and keep following. And it's not just a one decision breaks you away into a new direction. It's every time you keep listening to God. It just happens over and over and over and over again. You listen to God and you follow him. So he got pretty close and cozy with God in some ways, right? And that's the story. That's how it goes. And what were his rewards? Well, small rewards. Small rewards. There's small rewards in what God has used him for, but he's been running a Bible school for the last 15 years, you know? And if you add it all up, there's over 300 and so many students that have been through the program and have learned some good Bible training, and they're out scattered out throughout all the churches in Bolivia for the last, and actually other parts of South America too, for the last 15 years. So you kind of say, okay, there is an impact. It's the little things. It's the little things. At the end of the day, he doesn't own any property. He bought a lot of property. He doesn't own it. Always funny when that happens, you know? I think he bought 60-something acres. He doesn't own any of it. He gave it all away because it was part of the ministry, and that's how the Lord works with those who are faithful, those who want to live his way. So it's nice to have, I have my dad, and it's nice to have a close-in example of faith, but the same principles are true, the same four principles. You walk different than the world. You got to tune in. You got to listen to God. You're going to have to prove it with your actions. And you're going to have your faith rewarded as God sees for the present and as God has promised for the future. And we can all look forward to that as well. So that's Hebrews 11. As far as we made it today, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak from your word and to share this morning, and pray for those at home with being able to listen to this, that it would encourage and that it would reach them and maybe even spark some ideas of how to seek you, how to search out your direction, your will in their lives, and how to put the gloves on and get busy. Thank you for the times you've given us, the strange times that we're living in, and help us to see by faith the opportunities that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen.